Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4.
2 Corinthians chapter number 4. As you find your place there, I'd ask the respect to the Word of God that you stand as we read, beginning with verse number 13 down through verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things were for your sakes, that the abundant grace, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we spend just a few moments in it this evening, or this morning, Lord, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been looking at this passage of Scripture verse by verse for several weeks now. I just simply have titled the series itself, The Road to Heaven. It all begins with faith. Salvation begins with faith, not with works. I wish it was that easy that we just simply had to fulfill a series of commandments and we'd be okay, or perhaps simply have our good works outweigh our bad works when our life was over. That wouldn't seem to be so difficult, would it? But God said none of those ways will get us to heaven. The only way to heaven is through faith in what Jesus has already done. And so it all begins with faith that's spoken of in verse number 13, and it progresses from there. This morning we're going to fall right into verse number 16, and we're going to see that faith leads to steadfastness. Faith leads to steadfastness. Verse number 16, let me read it again. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now a subtitle to this verse would be, how to stay spiritually active. How to stay spiritually active. Now, last week on vacation at our son Philip's church, it's a new church start. There was some doctrinal issue with the pastor in the church where they were going. And so about a third of the church thought they needed to get out of there. And they were right. They needed to because the pastor wouldn't go. And so they left to start and establish a new church. And my greatest concern about their church is that they had the mentality, and I was talking to Pastor Willman about this earlier, they had the mentality of an established church. There's usually a little different atmosphere, a little different mentality in an established church as there is in a church start or a church plant. Because I think what happens as we have a church that's established, or we come into a church that's established, is we don't feel the need to stay spiritually active. Now, when I say spiritually active, I'm not necessarily simply saying that reading the Bible and praying. Every believer does that. That's not being active. That's just simply being a Christian couch potato. That's what's necessary for life. A couch potato, as we define the term or use the term today, is just someone who lives a sedentary type of a life, where they sit all the time, but they do the things necessary to sustain that life they're living. And that's the way the average Christian is, especially in an established church. We have the mentality or the attitude that, well, somebody else will get that. I don't have to be called on for this either because so-and-so will take care of that. Or that's the preacher's job. And that's the mentality, the philosophy that we have. And so we don't find ourselves spiritually active. We're not doing the ministry. We're not busy and at work. And if any church is to survive, whether it be a church plant or an established church, if it's to be what God wants it to be, It's going to be filled with a church family that is spiritually active. And so I think this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16, is a very important verse for us this morning because we need to be spiritually active. We've got a lot of things planned for at least through the end of the year and beyond. Because we want to make a difference. We just don't want to do church. We just don't want to play church. We just don't want to meet on Sundays and look in our Bibles and then go home and never be different or never apply the truths we've learned. My goal as a pastor is that we as a church hear the Word of God preached on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday and then read it on our own during the week and then begin to apply that in our lives so that we too are spiritually active. Not waiting for someone else to take the lead in a ministry or wait for someone else to volunteer to do something, but being the one to jump in and do it. That's where we need to be if we're to be successful, that if we're to succeed, if we're to survive as a church. If we're to have God's blessing, we must be spiritually active. And so, as I was saying, this verse is very relevant and very important to us today. Now, there's three things I find in this verse. The first is simply we need to be constrained. We need to be constrained. He says, for this cause. To be constrained means that you see a purpose and are driven by a purpose. Paul says there's a purpose in my life why I do the things that I do. Now, he referenced it in the previous verse, and that's for the glory of God. Paul didn't do anything to get patted on the back, and he probably receives more praise than any other man that's ever lived in the since the death of Christ. But he never did it for that praise. He never did it for a pat on the back. He never did it to get a notch on his belt for another soul won or another church planted. Everything the Apostle Paul did was to bring glory to God and to minister to other people to help meet their needs. He said there's a cause. Now we too have a cause, a reason to continue serving God. And unless you get a glimpse of a cause, unless you're constrained by something, you will never stay spiritually active for God. Now, if you're having trouble coming up with a cause, let me give you some suggestions to rally around. First of all, we should have the cause that God is always deserving of our service. God is deserving of your service. What does it tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19? Your body is a temple of who? The Holy Ghost. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. We don't belong to ourselves. If you're here this morning, and you know without any shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you don't belong to yourself. God is our owner. Therefore, we should be constrained by that thought that He is always deserving of our service. He deserves it. Look what He did for us. The love that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary as Jesus died in our place. And think of all the physical torment He suffered, that He endured. Willingly, because He loved you so much. Now, if somebody does something extraordinary for you, don't you feel a little indebted to them? Wouldn't you like to, in some small way, pay them back for that great love they showed to you, or that great demonstration of kindness? Wouldn't you like to repay them in some way? And if you can't repay them personally, do something for someone else that's in the same situation you were in. That's just the way our minds work. But somehow when it comes to God, we lose sight of that. And we think that God isn't deserving and that we don't have to serve Him unless we decide we want to serve Him or unless it's convenient to serve Him. But you should be always constrained by the thought that God always deserves our service. You're going to serve somebody. Why not serve God? The second cause, not just that He's always deserving, is that souls are always in need of the Savior. souls are always in need of the Savior. I don't believe we're ever going to get to the point on this side of the rapture when the whole world has come to Christ. Now, I know there are some out there that believe that as long as we preach the gospel enough, we're going to permeate the world and everybody's going to become a Christian, and then the Lord's going to come back. But that's not Bible preaching. Bible preaching is that sin is going to grow worse and worse, and then the Lord's going to come into the clouds, and He's going to call us up to be with Him, and then the world will be plunged into tribulation. You see, there's always going to be sinners as we live in these last days. Souls that need the Savior. Souls that are lost and dying and going to hell. How many people did you share the gospel with this past week? How many tracts did you distribute this past week? You see, there's a cause. And folks are dying and going to hell unless you tell them, they'll never hear. The Jehovah's Witnesses are out there telling people their version. It's all a system of works. The Mormons are out there telling the world their version, but it's a system of works. The Muslim is out there saying convert or die. And many are converting to Islam simply for that reason. They want to save their life in this world. But they've never heard the truth. You see, souls are dying and going to hell. That alone ought to be cause enough. That alone ought to constrain you to share the gospel. A third cause, the saints are always in need of ministry. Saints are always in need of ministry. We need each other. Whether we hate to admit it or not, we need each other. Aaron, plug your ears. I don't want to have to admit I need him. He asked me this morning if I missed him while we're sitting up in choir, and I just ignored him. And he kind of looked again like, did you hear me? And I looked up at him and smiled and said, does that answer your question? But we need each other, seriously. God has given to us as a church family and as individuals in this family different abilities, different gifts, different personalities, different qualifications, so that we together as a church family can serve Him and bring glory to Him. And there's things I can do that you can't do, and there's things you can do that I can't do. Just ask the trustees. They have a whole list of things I can't do. We need each other. That ought to be enough to constrain us that there is a cause to serve God and stay faithful to God. And never give up. Stay spiritually active. As I said, there's a number of things that we have planned on the calendar where we want to reach souls for Christ. And I'm going to do what I can do. Pastor Woman's going to do what he can do. But we need others to step in and take responsibility for certain areas that can do things that I can't do, that can do things he can't do, so that the whole thing is done right. Fourth reason or cause to be constrained is that crowns are always available to be won. Crowns are always available to be won. You don't find a deal any better than this. The idea of the crowns that God gives to those that are faithful to Him. I know I've talked about crowns on several occasions here recently. But crowns are an important motivator. If we want to say that it's not spiritual to serve God to try to get a crown, then we're calling Paul carnal. We're calling Paul not a spiritual man. You see, that's part of what drove Paul to do the things that he did and to stay on the missionary trail his entire life until he was shut up in prison. And even in prison, he still shared the gospel and tried to win as many as he can and wrote letters inspired by the Word of God, but also wrote other letters to churches to try to help them. Paul never stopped being spiritually active for any reason. And part of the reason he was able to do that is he was constrained by the opportunity to win a crown when he got to the Savior and stood before Him and received His reward. How to stay spiritually active? First of all, you have to be constrained You have to have a reason, a cause, a purpose. Those were four suggestions. Maybe there's something else you have in your mind that keeps you spiritually active. But if you're here this morning and you're not spiritually active, you can pretty much count on it that you don't have a cause. There's no reason to. We only do things because we have to. Or we felt like we must. Be constrained. The second thing I find in this verse, just as important as being constrained, is be committed. Be committed. He goes on in verse number 16. He says, for which cause? Then he says the next three words, we faint not. Paul made a commitment. He says, I am going to serve God no matter what. Paul had every excuse to quit. Paul had every excuse to give up. Paul could have gone away to a little hamlet somewhere and sheltered up in his own little house and sewn some tents and sold them for a living, and nobody would have known the better. He wouldn't have had any of the troubles he had. Now I go through some of the things that he describes for us, but we're going to say that for another time, because in the next verse he talks about his light affliction. Now how would you define light affliction? Light affliction is when Michigan whoops Ohio State by just a couple of points this fall. Now, if we want to really have heavy affliction, that's when we stomp you 66 to nothing. Now, we all understand the difference between light affliction and heavy affliction. We also understand the difference between daydreaming and reality, too, don't we? But Paul talks about light affliction. His definition of light affliction is much different than ours. Probably none of us has suffered to the extent of Paul's light affliction. What kept Paul going? Well, he had a cause, but he also made a commitment to God. He said, God, I will serve you with my life because you deserve it. Because souls are dying and going to hell, because Christians need ministry, and because I can win some crowns. And so I make the commitment that I will press on no matter what comes. And so there will be no obstacle that will be large enough to deter me. There will be no problem that should be severe enough to stop me. Paul said there will be no foe fierce enough to discourage me. Paul said there will be no circumstance complicated enough to prevent me from serving God. Paul said, I hear and now at some point in his life, and I believe it was after Ananias, actually probably even before that, on that Damascus road when the light appeared and Christ spoke, I believe right then and there he made the commitment when he said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I will serve you with the rest of my life with everything I have. And if you want to experience spiritual activity and you want to experience the full blessings of God, and not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but the full blessing of God, you must have that attitude that God, here am I, send me. No strings attached. That's what Isaiah said back in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, he didn't say the no strings attached, but that was implied. How many of you have that type of a commitment to the Savior? Most of us have a Sunday morning commitment. That's about as far as we go. And we think we're doing God a favor. God says, I'm looking for a little more. God says, I'm looking for some spiritual activity that I can bless you and pour out my blessings in your life. We're quick to make a commitment to our workplace. If they call, we show up. We work as long as they ask. We do everything they ask, and we never question that. Well, we may say they're paying me, and I get a paycheck at the end of the week. Well, let me guarantee you that the paycheck at the judgment seat of Christ will pale into insignificance all that you've ever made in this life. We're quick to make a commitment to, how did you feel when I said Michigan was going to beat Ohio State? We're quick to make a commitment to a particular sports team. I obviously have made one to the University of Michigan and to my Detroit Tigers. who just got done with a 7-game losing streak. We're not going to talk about baseball. Thanks a lot, Ron. But I'm committed to the Detroit Tigers. You know how long I've been rooting for the Tigers? It's about knee-high to a grasshopper. My entire life, I've never rooted for another team. That's commitment. And we've seen some pretty tough years. Only you Indian fans can understand what Detroit Tigers fans have gone through. Because we went through the same thing back in the mid-70s and up until the early 80s. Of year after year, worst team in baseball, worst team in baseball. We had the first pick in the draft so many years in a row, I don't even know how many it was. But commitment. We make commitment all the time. When you stand before or stood before your spouse and you made your commitment, we make commitments and all that it involved. But somehow when it comes to God and serving God, we say, well, I really can't make a commitment. If it's convenient, if I don't have anything better going on, sure, I'll do what I can do. God says, that's not what I'm looking for. God says, that won't keep you spiritually active. You see, to be spiritually active, you must make a commitment. No strings attached. Just simply as Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Where would God send you? I'm not necessarily suggesting He's going to send you across the ocean. You see, we've got plenty of lost people here in Crawford County that need to hear the gospel. Are you willing to be a vessel to take the gospel to them? Be constrained. Be committed. There's a third thing in this verse on how to stay spiritually active, and that's simply be calculating. Calculating. Now, what do I mean by calculating? Calculating means to go through the mind, work your mind, and think about things and make an assessment. Now, we all have a problem. We live in it. It's called our physical flesh. Paul made reference to it when he said the outward man. Your outward man is just like any other's outward man. It gets tired. It gets hungry. It has problems. Guy and I had a rototiller party yesterday. You can guess what we feel like today. And you'd be the same way trying to run a rototiller on ground that hasn't been broken up yet. And what usually happens in the life of the average Christian is after days like that, it's, you know, I feel lousy right now. I hurt. Every muscle in my body is letting me know its complaints. So I don't think I'll go to church today. I'm just going to stay home and relax and take it easy and maybe soak in a hot tub or take a nice hot shower to try to relax the muscle and ease some of the pain. That's what the average Christian says. But you see, we need to be calculating and think things through. That yes, this body does hurt. Yes, this body does grow tired. Yes, this body is weary. But there's also not just the outward man, there's also the inward man if you look in the verse. And as he talks about the inward man, he says this inward man is renewed day by day. So it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. It doesn't matter yesterday if we fell flat on our face and had to end the day confessing sin to God. That new day has sprung, and God's compassions, as it tells us in the book of Lamentations chapter 3, are new every day. And this inward man can be renewed every day. And so as we watch the little kids run around and we wishfully think, I wish I had that much energy anymore. I wish I had a fraction of that energy anymore. Spiritually, we can and we should be just as energetic as they. So often, when someone first gets saved, man, they're so excited. They can't wait to do everything for God. They're in church every time the days are open. They're in their Bible every day, praying every day. But as time wears on, life gets busy. And that newness of the salvation, the newness of sins forgiven is gone. The realization of no longer carrying that burden of sin wears away. And so, this flesh begins to take over. And we're ruled or governed by how we feel. And that's what I mean by being calculated. And if we're going to stay spiritually active, is we need to get beyond that point of being governed by how we feel physically or outwardly, and be governed spiritually by how we can be so refreshed by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God and by the grace of God and by the mercy of God every day. That spiritual revival that should be ours every morning should help us daily stay spiritually active. How about you this morning? If you would assess your spiritual life, and again, I'm not talking about reading your Bible and praying. I'm talking about your spiritual activity. What have you done for God lately? Would you, as you assess your own life this morning, would you say, I am spiritually active? Or would you say, spiritually, I'm nothing more than a couch potato? It's essentially the same thing as saying, am I being blessed by God or am I not being blessed by God? There's no reason not to be spiritually active. Be constrained. Find a purpose. Be committed. Determine not to quit. Be calculating. Realize that the spiritual man is that which needs to govern your life. And you will stay spiritually active. Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul, though nothing that he wrote for us in your word was written in order that we would hold him up as an example. But Father, he merely wrote those things you asked him to write. And Father, in his writings there are so many keys of how to stay right with you. But Father, as we've heard the challenge of this verse, Father, help each of us in our own hearts to dwell upon these thoughts. First of all, do I have a purpose spiritually to stay active? Secondly, have I made a commitment? And I think this is where the average Christian falls short. Is perhaps one time we made a commitment, but we have long ago reneged upon it. And Father, thirdly, we need to ask ourselves, do we allow ourselves to be calculated and realize that we need to be governed by the spiritual man? And though outwardly we may be fatigued and tired, inwardly we can be renewed day by day. Father, help us now during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.